Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, and author of Surviving the Emergency Room, on the show now. What is the deal like at the emergency room now, Doc?
Well, I feel like we already did this before. It's like a little bit of deja vu for everybody. But yeah, I know it's starting to get a little rough out there. The positivity rate in Connecticut's over 20%, which is super high. Usually when we've been talking in the past, it's been, you know, a couple percent, but it's 20.33%. So one in five people that gets tested is positive, which is a very high for any disease. And it's just, it's kind of everywhere right now.
All right, so that rate, could that be a combination of the people that are getting tested or showing symptoms? So, of course, if everyone who's feeling sick is getting tested, it's going to be a high rate of COVID. And could part of it also be that everyone in the last month has been getting tested because they were going on trips for the holidays?
Right. It could be either one of those two things. Definitely the one where someone feels sick and then gets a test, obviously biased it towards being positive, because if you felt great, you wouldn't have done the test in the first place.
Right.
But it is a high rate, and it's very prevalent, and it's felt very prevalent for the last few weeks in the emergency department. The ERs are full. The rooms are full. The hallways are full of patients. The staff is doing their best to take care of people the best that they can. Some of the staff members have gotten sick as well, where I work, and other hospitals around as well. So it is everywhere, and we're doing our best to take care of patients and trying to, you know, tell people, you know, to get vaccinated, be careful, stay in your pod, all the things that we've been saying for 2 years now.
All that went out the window for the holidays.
Yes, it did.
I can tell you that.
For the holidays, that happens every year, where, you know, you want to be with your family and your friends and, you know, traveling and being in groups of large people. And again, if one person has it, now a bunch of people have it. And that's the way viruses work. The positive to all this, and the fact that the rate's so high and seemingly is everywhere. Everybody knows someone that either has COVID or their friend or family member, different things, or themselves. The one good thing is sometimes this is how a pandemic ends as well, because then the population just gets overwhelmed with the virus and it becomes endemic, meaning it's just part of what we live with, kind of like the flu
right.
in the past before COVID. The fact that everyone either gets it and they either get sick, they live, they die, they get vaccinated, they recover from COVID, whatever the case may be, but everyone's been exposed to the virus, and therefore it's not novel anymore. It's just part of the endemic viruses that we have each year, and it'll become seasonal, sort of like influenza.
Yeah, we were all freaked out in 2020, and I think now we all knew, right? I mean, the messaging wasn't as strong or as panicky as it was in 2020,
yeah.
But everybody knew this. Omicron was way more contagious. It was here. People were getting it. It was spreading fast. But we still got together for the holidays. You know, I was walking into restaurants. It seems weird now, but like at the beginning of vacation with no mask on.
Right.
Now I wouldn't do that.
Nope.
Yeah.
Of the people walking into the emergency room, how many could have stayed home, like didn't have to go to the emergency room?
Most. So most of the people that come in now either want to get tested or have mild symptoms. And that's one good thing with the Omicron, is that the symptoms are generally milder than Delta and some of the other variants. So you get sore throat, sneezing, nasal congestion, some fatigue. But they're generally mild symptoms that don't necessarily need to come to the emergency room. So that's the good part. The people way back at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of those people who were coming to see me were unresponsive on ventilators and those kinds of things.
Yes.
There's not as much. There are a few people who will still get very sick and have low oxygen and can't breathe, and there'll be some that die from this as well. But it's the vast majority of patients with the Omicron are going to have mild symptoms. And again, some of them had no other place to go but the emergency room, like the Hospital of Central Connecticut where I work. The tests weren't available for people. People were trying to, you know, get them places and just had no access to the tests. And hopefully there'll be, you know, more tests available in the future.
That's another thing that I guess we didn't see coming was we were going to need an S ton of tests.
Exactly. Just to know if you're positive. And then, again, and if you are, when you get tested, you get tested, you know you're positive, and then you would self-isolate from your family members. I've had multiple of my friends who, like, one person in their family has it, and they sort of isolated from the others, and the other ones didn't get it. And then I have friends that one had it, and then the whole family has it. So, but the testing is part of the way where you prevent spread, because if you know that you're positive, you should self-isolate and not expose others.
Dr. Ron Clark is on, but don't go to the ER to get tested, or don't go there if you have a runny nose.
Luckily, I fail tests all the time. So,
what's that, AJ?
I fail tests all the time, so we're good.
This is one you want to fail.
When should you go to the ER?
I mean, if you have significant symptoms, shortness of breath, dizziness, feel like you want to pass out, very high fevers, chest pain or discomfort, those are emergency symptoms, and those are require you to go to the emergency room to get checked out.
What's a high fever?
Anything above 101.
Okay.
Would be considered high. You know, most of the people that have COVID that are kind of the walking well people have a low grade temperature, and it's very interesting. Over the last few weeks, like, I can look at someone's vital signs, which we have on our Epic on our chart, just on the computer where I look at someone's chart, and I can tell who has it just by seeing the vital sign. Like, it'll be like a young 30-year-old with vital sign that has a temperature of 99.9, just a little low grade temperature. You know, 98.6 is normal temperature, just a little above that. Wow. Positive. Every one of them. Like, I can just look at the vital signs and see that for a lot of people. So, but again, you know, the emergency rooms are open. We're here to take care of patients. We're doing our best with the staff that we have, including some of our own staff members getting sick. But we're here to take care of patients. And again, if you feel like you have an emergency, you can't breathe, you have chest pain, you're dizzy, you feel like you want to pass out, the ERs are there for you. If you just have the snivels and nothing else, it'd probably be better to stay home, only in the sense that when you come to the emergency room, you're affecting everyone else and possibly infecting all of those people.
Do you find that people who have no symptoms are going there to try to get tested so they can travel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
you people.
Yo.
Very, very common that they come in to get tested, because, again, they have nowhere else chance to go to get tested. There's just very few tests available. And we have different types of testing. We have PCR testing. We have antigen testing. We have something called fluvid testing, which gives you influenza A and B, COVID, and RSV, so you can see if you have any of them. I mean, there's all different kinds of testing that we offer and that we have at the Hospital of Central Connecticut. But, again, patients, the smart thing is, if you just have the sniffles, to stay home and not affect other people, because chances are you probably do have COVID, and, you know, coming to the emergency room and affecting everybody else is probably not the right thing.
And if you're trying to travel and you're trying to get a test for that, don't go to the ER, please.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
You can't go anywhere.
No.
There's no one has tests.
No, nobody has tests. That's why they come to the emergency room, because there's really no other place right now. And hopefully, you know, the manufacturers will start making more tests. That should have probably already happened. But, again, before this last few weeks, we were doing great. The last couple times I talked to you guys on the radio, things were great. We were talking about other subjects, and other things, and AJ's hernia and this and that.
You were doing show tunes, I remember. Yes.
Now, AJ has surgery, and we're right back to talking about COVID.
So, oh, sure, blame me.
I don't know if there's a correlation. There,
I had nothing to do with this.
Just throwing it out there.
So the governor, who we're going to talk to at 8, said, we shouldn't be looking at the positivity rate as much as we should be looking at hospitalizations.
True.
Are they up?
Yes.
And I'm guessing the hospitalizations are pretty serious when we're
admitting
people.
Hospitalizations are up, yeah. We're up to 1,151 hospitalizations in Connecticut, which is plus 38 for this week.
Is that a lot compared to where we were the first round of this?
Yeah, this is a lot of patients in the hospital. That's basically a full hospital. And again, when I say my hospital is full, that means that there are no beds. And again, it's not just the Hospital of Central Connecticut. It's all hospitals in Connecticut and around the country right now are full. They're at capacity, meaning every one of my beds is full. And there's multiple people in the emergency room that we call boarders. A boarder is a person who's admitted, the ER doctor wants them admitted, and the medical service has admitted them, and there's no place for them to go, so they board in the emergency room. And
wow.
You know, every ER has multiple boarders as well. And then what happens is the influx of new patients that come in for that day, like this morning, you know, it's 6:14 in the morning, and there's going to be people who are going to be coming, waiting in the ER right now to be seen. There's no room for them because now the patients who are supposed to be upstairs are in the room. There's people in the hallway who are being seen and evaluated by doctors, and then the waiting room is full as well, and there's no place for people to go. So it kind of clogs up the whole system when the hospital's full because it really.
And is it as bad as last time in terms of deaths and vents? And
So no. So that's the one good thing. The people, we're not seeing the amount of people ventilating that we did at the beginning. At the beginning, when it was brand new and novel and no one had seen the virus before, it was making a lot of people unresponsive, coming in basically on death's door. And those people, we are still putting people on ventilators, just not as much as we were at the beginning. But the hospitalizations are up from just shortness of breath. Most of the people get hospitalized. They're hospitalized because of low oxygen called hypoxemia, which basically means, you know, any oxygen under 90, 91 would be considered significant. And those people who require oxygen obviously can't go home, so they're gonna get admitted into the hospital. So, yeah, the hospitalization rate in Connecticut is up. Luckily, you know, hopefully, you know, people stay vaccinated. The one key metric I want everyone to know is that 71% of the people who get hospitalized are not fully vaccinated. So the vaccine is protective in the sense it doesn't stop you from getting COVID.
Would that also include people not boosted? So maybe your two shots, but you just weren't boosted?
Correct. It includes that as well. So, but again, the full vaccination series plus, because again, any kind of vaccinations are going to have waning immunity, meaning it goes down over time. So the people who are not fully vaccinated and having their booster as well, if it's been a long time, like since they were vaccinated, it's 71% of those people who don't have that protective ability are the ones who are getting hospitalized, and they're the ones who are hospitalized are the ones that are dying. So again, just getting the vaccine alone is protective in the sense that, yeah, you might still get COVID, but you're not going to get sick enough to require emergency medical treatment. You're not going to be sick enough to die, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So it still confers immunity in the sense the immunity from death, not necessarily from getting COVID. And that's the frustrating part in all this. You know, most people think you get vaccinated and you just don't get it in the first place. And that really hasn't been the case with the vaccine.
Yeah.
People who are vaccinated, it's been a little disappointing in that sense.
Well, I think most of us who were paying attention knew that.
Yeah, but
it does confer some safety in the fact that you're probably not going to get sick. Because remember, your body's already seen the virus, and now if you really get it for real, again, you have fighters, you have antibodies to protect yourself.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because Jennifer and I have it. I'm from home right now.
Yep.
I've been bouncing back faster than she has, and you know, I know everybody's different and whatnot.
Yep.
But is this like drinking? Like if you have a lot to drink, you're going to have a bad hangover more than someone who had like two drinks? Because I think that she's probably had more exposure to it than me. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think everyone's different with how they respond. I just think that, you know, it depends. I mean, I'm not sure on that, Chaz, as far as, like,
yeah.
You know, why.
No, I'm wondering, like, if I'm stuck in a car for 3 hours with someone who's, like, full-blown COVID, mm-hmm. right? So 3 hours, full-blown, small space. Or if I walk by someone in the supermarket. Like, it's two different levels of illness, right? Or no?
Yeah, it could be, you know, the repetitive exposure kind of thing there. That is true. Yeah, exactly. If you're stuck with somebody for a period of time, but again, once you have it, you have it.
Yeah.
And again, how it replicates in your body and how your own personal body responds to people. Remember, there's some people that have no symptoms. And I've had multiple in the last couple of days working where they're admitted for something totally unrelated to COVID, and I tell them that they're positive. And they're like shocked because they have no symptom at all,
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody else who's on a ventilator or can't breathe or is dead. So it's like the spectrum is pretty wide there. And why one person gets better faster, nobody's going to know that for years. And I'm talking like 5 to 10 years when you look back at all the patients. And, yeah, was it their blood type? Was it what they ate that day? Was it who they were exposed to? Like, there's a lot of things with COVID that just people don't know. Like, they don't know why one person gets sick and one person doesn't. It's kind of a strange thing. And even with the Omicron, you know, the one thing with Omicron is the symptoms are generally milder, but why doesn't it take away your sense of taste or smell, where the Delta does? Like, what mutated there to cause that? Like, it's
just... Oh, my God. I am glad I didn't get that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People are saying that, you know, because with the last wave, it was Delta, and, you know, everyone would come in, I can't taste, I can't smell. Right. You can't taste your beer, you can't taste the pizza, those kinds of things we talked about last
Those are the two things, see?
Exactly. But you're
just
right
jump from the train
don't
right there.
Don't worry about that. You have your pizza and beer, you'll be all set. But... Yeah. It's like, why does one thing happen? Nobody knows. A lot of this, you know, the doctors are learning and patients and everyone's learning, you know, together, you know, for something that's just hasn't been seen before. And it's, you know, it's definitely an evolving medical landscape.
It'd be nice to enhance the flavor of things, you know. Oh, this peach tastes better now. This beer is much better now.
No, because then people would want to get it.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Scrap that idea.
All right. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, and author of Surviving the Emergency Room, a great book available on Amazon. Thanks for coming on and keep up the great work.
All right, Chaz. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. I think we got a song here. Let's talk to Fran Rabinowitz. She's the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. So she's the super of supers.
Oh, gotcha. The super smart.
Good morning,
Not
Fran.
Quite. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Is remote learning an option?
No, it isn't, actually. now.
That was convincing.
We don't have any.
Are you okay? I just heard you cough.
Yeah, I'm fine. I just coughed. I'm fine.
Cigarette.
That's what happens, though. When you cough, people are like, what? Oh, my God!
Yeah. Oh, my. I know. No, I'm fine. I promise you.
Just want a sanitizer.
Right now, we do not have the ability to do remote learning. The legislature did not provide us that opportunity. So, you know, it would take an executive order from the governor in order for remote learning to take place.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The other interesting thing is, well, not interesting. It's
well,
really
would you, Fran, if the governor said school districts could go on remote learning, every school district would be able to pick whether or not they want to do it, right?
That's right. It would be optional.
Gotcha. It would be optional. And then what is your role in that? Do you recommend it? Do you not recommend it? Do you keep quiet?
Personally, and I think as not just personally, but as a group of superintendents in the state, we'll do anything we can to safely bring in our children and staff, because we know that it is far more effective to have kids with each other and with their teachers. So we'll do whatever we can. And I do understand that some districts, you know, very few, if you consider we have 169 districts, very few actually had to close today. But I'm telling you that superintendents and administrators had very little vacation this week because they were trying their best to find ways to keep the schools open. I just was texting with Eileen Tracy in New Haven, and, you know, all of their central office is out in the schools today.
What do you mean? They're out?
They're taking classrooms. They're taking over classrooms. They're filling in for principals who may not be well enough to be in school. But
there's a lot of that, right? So there's a staffing problem now because people are getting sick. Now you're going to have the kids coming in, spreading it.
Yeah.
So we're at a point now where we're just going to say, let it rip, right?
Well, I think what we're going to do is do everything we can to make it as safe as we can. We brought, you know, yesterday school districts were picking up N95 masks from municipalities. We're doing home tests. I think we're doing everything we can to keep them as safe. I don't think that means that we're ignoring it or just saying, oh, you know, COVID's here to stay. No, I think we're being as safe as we possibly can.
But the remote learning, you don't think that that's going to happen? Like, we've been there, done that, and no one came out of that and said, boy, that really, the kids learned a lot.
Yeah, seriously.
No, no one said that.
Nope.
No one said it. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, overall, I believe educators did a phenomenal job in pivoting to that when they had to. But I don't believe any of us want to go back there.
Was there a conversation leading up to where we are today, you know, when Omicron or whatever it's called started rearing its ugly head? Were all you folks getting together saying, what do you think about remote learning?
All week.
Yeah.
All week.
And everybody everyone was not in favor of remote learning?
No, I mean, as a last resort, we would take it. And
and
trust me, let me just say to you that there are some things that we learned and did online which were wonderful, and we're not going to let those go. They're going to be an expansion of the regular curriculum in our schools. You know, we'll have online learning, but in addition to being in person, we would like to try not to go remote totally because it didn't work for many, many kids.
Right. So I know the parents, for the most part, didn't like it, right? Because their day would change every day. You know, they just couldn't figure out when did they go to work? When did they have to work from home?
All that.
The kids weren't learning a lot.
Nope.
So we know, for the most part, parents were not in favor of it. Where did the teachers stand in terms of remote learning?
The teachers really prefer to have their kids in front of them. I think the worst thing for teachers that I've heard, and I totally understand, was when half the class was in and half the class was remote. So you were teaching to the kids in front of you, but you also had to be aware of the students that were online. I think that was very difficult.
Are you getting test kits? Are you testing kids? What's the nurse's office like? Is this a nightmare?
I don't think that they're testing in schools. No, I mean, there are some medical groups that are partnering with schools and coming in and doing routine testing every week. But for the most part, no, we are not testing in schools, but we are providing and we will be providing home tests for families.
Nice.
Who gets those? How do you figure out who gets them?
Well, I think right now, from what I've understood, the Commissioner of Education has said they'll be delivered later this month. Later this week. I do believe that there will be enough for each family to get at least two.
I took two. And it was negative. And then on the third day, it was positive.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other issue. Certainly that, to be honest with you, that is an issue. Because even getting, for those who are not vaccinated, having test results within 72 hours of school is not fail-proof because you can test on Saturday and be negative and on Monday be positive.
Right.
So it's not fail proof.
Right. I think if you have the symptoms, you should probably just assume you have it.
Just stay home. Yep.
Right.
We are saying very clearly, if you have any symptoms, please stay home.
Yeah. Anything else you want to get out there or we should know before I let you go?
No, I think I want families to know that the educators in Connecticut are doing everything and we're working together. I talked to the presidents of the teacher unions probably 3 or 4 times a week. And we're doing everything we can as a group to ensure safety in the schools.
A lot of places like airlines and other companies are paying their people more to come in just to get people there. Are teachers getting paid any more for showing up?
No, we are not doing that. We are not paying. We are not paying additional monies. I do think substitutes in many school districts, the substitute salaries did increase. But let me just say that they needed to increase.
Yeah.
The substitute.
What were they? What were they
not being paid enough?
What were they getting an hour?
You know, I don't know an hour, but it depended upon the district. But right. I know when I was interim in Bridgeport for 3 years, we went from 75, I think, to 100. And that's nothing. $100 a day, if you're coming in and you're planning and you're doing all the work, that's not a whole lot of money.
No, it's not.
When's the last time you got yourself tested, Fran?
Yeah.
No, it's an allergy club. Trust me.
Oh.
Trust me.
I don't know,
fine.
Fran.
To what, us?
She's allergic to this show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're like two germs to her.
All right. It's funny now, though, if you're out in a restaurant and you cough like Fran's coughing.
Yep.
Oh, man, my gosh.
You'd have the restaurant to yourself.
You get stink eye.
You do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, put on that mask.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Fran. Well, thanks for what you do, and keep us posted.
I will do.
All right. Fran Rabinowitz.
You too. Thank you.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Right.
Executive Director of Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. So she's the super.
Right. The super of supers.
With an allergy.
So the bottom line there, remote learning, not an option. Ray Richmond, author of Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in an Extraordinary Life. Good morning.
Good morning, Chaz and AJ.
Morning.
I don't know if you're Chaz or AJ, so I'll just say both.
I am Chaz.
This is AJ.
Okay.
Got it.
Nice to make your acquaintance. And it's amazing. I'm actually stringing sentences together, considering what time it is.
What time? Where are you out in California? It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
It is, but anything for Chaz and AJ, even sleeplessness.
Wow, see that? Thank you.
I'm glad you didn't title the book Betty White 100 Remarkable Years, because
misprint.
We were very careful about that.
Yeah.
In fact.
Really?
Yep. Oh no, that was purposeful. Yeah, just in case she didn't quite make it, and 17 days short of 100. Not so bad, really, though, when you think about it. If somebody came up to you and said, you can be rich, famous, beloved, possessed of your marbles to the very end, but you're going to fall 17 days short of 100, I think we'd all take
it. I'll take it.
Yeah, why not?
I'll take that deal.
Yeah.
Why?
And
why do people love her so much?
You know, she was sort of everything an entertainer should be. She was mischievous. She was down to earth. She was hilarious. She carried the spark of joy. Her comedy spanned generations. I mean, when NBC came on with the Golden Girls, everyone thought, well, why are they putting a show on that's going to appeal only to people 65 plus? And it turns out that, everyone from teenagers to young adults to the older crowd adore it. And, she just had a way about her, kind of the perfect combination of wholesome and naughty. You know, she wasn't boring, even though you would think she's kind of apple pie, but apple pie with kind of a little razor blade in it.
Right.
Yeah.
A whiskey. Yep.
Because really, when you look at it, she was very good in two sitcoms. You know?
Yeah, and she was fantastic in three, also in Hot in Cleveland. In her 90s, the woman is starring in a sitcom, a weekly comedy. And that's the thing is, what other entertainer you can think of actually had a career resurgence in their 90s? It just it's unprecedented.
That's a great point.
It's true.
Well, so Ray, when you, did someone ask you to do the book? Did you decide to do the book? How did that come about?
Yeah, the publishing house Quarto Books, they had come up with this idea that they were going to do something to, you know, try to commemorate Betty White's 99th year leading up to, you know, her 100th birthday. And, you know, I'd done some books on celebrities before. And a lot of them.
We'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, you were clearly the right guy to do it. And as you were digging through and learning about Betty White, did you find anything that surprised you?
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff. Well, primarily that she was such a badass. I mean, Jesus. She was, you know, from the time, she was a pioneer in TV. I mean, she literally, when they say that she's the first lady of TV, she literally was the first lady. She was part of a television experiment in 1939, 2 months after she graduated high school, to see if she could, if they could make the pictures and the sound go from the sixth floor of a building to the first floor. And it was successful, and that was 2 months before television broadcasting actually commenced at the New York World's Fair. She was there at the very beginning. She was on the air with a show called Hollywood on Television, a local show in 1949, 5.5 hours a day, 6 days a week. Now, you guys do improv. Now, could you imagine doing all that with no commercial breaks?
Right, that's a lot.
She had to go to the bathroom. They had to focus the camera, like, on a book or something and say, I'll be back in a minute. This was the early days of TV. Somebody's going to do a great movie about the early days of TV, and Betty White should be kind of at the center of it. But yes, there's a lot of stuff that surprised me, really, about what a badass she was and just how versatile. Oh, my God. You could make a case that she was not only the most beloved, but the most versatile entertainer in American history. I mean, she
really?
Did sitcoms. Drama guest spots. She did game shows. You know, there was no one who had more game show experience as a celebrity contestant than her. Thousands of episodes. She did a soap opera, The Bold and the Beautiful, when she was in her 80s.
Wow.
Parade coverage. You know, she didn't have the snob gene, so she just, you know, whatever they asked her to do, she did.
Yep.
That character that she kind of like, she seems. You know, she seems ditzy, but she's not.
Oh, Rose Nylund?
Yeah. Was she?
No. Well, the thing is, you know, she was a little bit dumb. She had to kind of dumb it down. But the truth is, yeah, you know, they'd originally hired her to do Blanche. That was what she was came in to read for. And then Rue McClanahan nailed Blanche, and they're like, well, shoot, now we don't have a Rose. And, you know, like, can you do Rose? And, you know, they thought, they immediately thought she was Blanche because that was similar to the character she did of Sue Ann Nivens on the
Mary Tyler Moore. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And then, so she's doing, they said, can you do Rose? She's like, no, I can't do dumb and ditzy. And they're like, well, just give it a shot. And of course she nailed it and the rest is history. But, you know, arguably it was the toughest character to pull off among the four leads because she wasn't really written the wisecracks and the one-liners. She really sort of had to manufacture the laughs out of seemingly ordinary lines based on the way she read it, the way it came across. So she was acting every second on that show.
Ray Richmond is on, author of Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in an Extraordinary Life. We're linked up on the radio station website. Ray, if you could just make sure you're talking to that mouthpiece, the phone, that'd be great. When yes. You were researching her life, did she ever have one of these celebrity-type meltdowns in public or none of that, right?
No. You know, that's the thing, guys, is, you know, the deeper you look into this woman, the more impressive she gets. I mean, I felt like I was, you know, her best buddy by the end, even though it was really mostly research that I was doing. I wasn't really interacting with her. And no, that's the thing. Every celebrity has a moment where they're a jerk, where they have skeletons in their closet, they have you know, an illegitimate child they brought into the world. Something. She has nothing. She literally, you know, is as angelic and perfect as they come. And I know that's boring, but you know, all of this.
It's actually encouraging.
Yeah.
that people can do it.
You can
be in the spotlight your entire life and not have one of those moments. Like, there's no moment where she gave someone the finger or said, hey, look, I'm not signing autographs now, or or she punched out a cab driver.
Exactly.
None of that.
Right.
No one has come along to say, well, no, you just don't know the real Betty White. Here's the kind of jerk she was. No, there's nothing like that. Of course, there's no real good career bounce from trashing Betty White. So few right. people are going to come along and do that. But yes, she had she was as great and wholesome as they come. And I just couldn't believe it while I was researching this. I'm just like, I kept looking for the skeletons and I couldn't find any.
Yeah, and not that we would want that.
No.
But it's just interesting that it's not there. You know, that she went through two divorces. She was on her third husband passed, but her third husband she called the love of her life. But she had two divorces.
Yeah, she had two divorces early on.
That usually brings out the worst in people.
Usually.
Yeah, well, she would say that she got married because she wanted to have sex, and you had to get married in order to do that back then. And she married the wrong guys who wanted to keep her in the house and cooking them meals. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, buddy. I'm an entertainer. This is what I want to do in my life. And she finally found the right man who totally accepted that, with Alan Ledden, who was the host of Password. He was a very big game show host at the time and pursued her relentlessly. You know, he was like for a year pushing her, please, let's get married, let's get married, let's get married. How about now? He wore the engagement ring that she rejected around his neck for 4 months until she said yes.
Wow.
She was just as perky and wonderful and terrific as we imagine. And what other entertainer that you can think of? They die at 99 and everyone's like, it's too soon, she's too young.
Yeah. One more.
And she's still relevant.
They're not done with her.
Yeah.
That People magazine cover, that's kind of weird, right? They wished her a happy 100th birthday and didn't make it.
A lot of people think, people killed her. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that, of course, shot the, that cover skyrocketing in popularity, and everyone's buying it up now. That's the irony of these things. It was like the old newspaper front page, Dewey defeats Truman.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things now. But,
you know what's weird about that on their website? It took them a long time to take it down.
Right.
It was hours.
I don't have any inside information about the way she died, but according to, the way it seems with, the way they called the Los Angeles police over and everything, it seems like she went to bed on Thursday night and just didn't wake up Friday morning. So it was sort of like God was paying attention to, we're going to give this woman the most painless, peaceful death imaginable.
Wow.
All right.
Were you able to talk to her or correspond with any of her people during the writing of this book?
I did not speak with her. This was unauthorized, 1,000% positive. But I spoke with a lot of people she worked with, though. From her Hot in Cleveland and Golden Girls days, people that interacted, script supervisors and producers and people that interacted with her daily. And, all of them to a person just gave you the what you see is what you got, they were all just universal in their praise of her. And in fact, some of them threatened me. They're like, if I'm participating in a negative book about this woman, I am going to hunt you down and kill you, Pat.
Wow.
So
yeah.
You better be 1,000% positive here.
Yeah, and, that's interesting.
So
because
I was under death watch.
Yeah, that's – can you imagine if you sign up to participate in what you think is going to be a positive book that would suck.
That'd be bad, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see that you some of the notes from your book that she liked hot dogs.
Yeah, that's the thing. You want to live to be 99, you guys. Eat hot dogs. The staples of your diet should be hot dogs, red licorice, and vodka.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was the staples of her diet, and she's unapologetic about it. It was like, She didn't like anything green. If it's green, keep it away from me. and she's like, you know, she wasn't sick, and she lived to almost 100. So that's pretty good. Maybe
that is good.
Maybe it was the preservative qualities.
All the nitrates.
The
yep.
Ray Richmond's on, author
we're
of.
We're doing it all wrong.
Yep.
Betty White book. We're linked up. It's sold out now, but they're going to make more. So order your copy now,
yes,
on Amazon.
Please. That's the blessing and the curse. Ooh, we sold out. Oh, God, we sold out.
Oh, no.
We need more.
Yeah. Did she have kids?
Just stepchildren. Three stepkids. She was asked that question many times and was always of the mind of, you know what, I'm so attached to my career, I would be a horrible mother.
Right.
And
she
it's
knew.
Good that I'm not
she was
bringing
honest about
those children
it.
Into the world.
Yeah.
No, a lot of people don't do that math.
No.
You know?
No. And that was another part of what made her perfect.
Yeah.
She even knew she shouldn't have kids.
Yeah. That's it's quite a sacrifice for your career.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. She wasn't driven by the, you know, the whole maternal gene. It didn't push her, but she loved to entertain, and boy, she did it well.
Oh yeah, that Golden Girls cast seemed like they really got along, like they jived. There was chemistry there. You can't really fake that on the screen. Was
no.
that true or not true?
Well, yeah, yes, no.
Okay, then.
There's one. From all reports, she did not get along well with Bea Arthur.
I was going to say Bea Arthur. I bet. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, be, and you can see just from their personas in real life and on the show that might be an issue. You know, I think especially after Betty was the first one to win an Emmy for the show,
gotcha.
Bea purportedly was not happy with that and was like, "I'm the Broadway trained actress, and she's just a TV gal."
And Bea Arthur also had the most things in her contract, also.
Yes. You know, and I'm certainly not going to say anything negative about B, but yes, you could see where their personalities might clash a little bit. But you know what? They're professionals, and they sucked it up for the good of the show.
Yeah.
And I honor them both for that.
Yeah, totally. I would have never figured that one out watching the show. Like it really was a cast that just seemed like they had great chemistry.
Like they actually lived together, yeah.
Mm.
And they did have great chemistry. It's just there was that one little thing, you know,
yeah.
where they didn't go out and swam down, you know, Bourbons together.
No,
right.
And they have to see each other. Yes.
What a book, what a subject, and then she dies right before the 100th, which I think makes it more impactful than if she died 17 days after she was 100. Because there's
they almost made it, yeah.
You know?
Would it be somehow less tragic if she died 17 days later? Right. You know, it's you're right. It is kind of more impactful. And it was sort of the last ha-ha in-your-face act of Betty White.
That's
true. New Year's Eve.
That is true.
Yeah. I heard she actually grabbed 2021 and, like, domed to the depths of hell with her.
And everybody is toasting the new year and toasting Betty at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah,
she had people
yeah.
raising glasses in her honor that night.
I hope we have your direct contact because I want to talk to you about these other people you've interviewed, like Elizabeth Taylor, Lucille Ball, Shirley MacLaine, George Burns, Chris Rock,
wow.
Scorsese, Ben Stiller, Amy Schumer, Steve Carell, Jimmy Kimmel. Like we got to have you back.
Jeez.
I would love it. Yes, your people know my people, which is basically
great.
They have my number.
Great. Ray, thanks for coming on. Thanks for getting up real early to come on and talk about your book, Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in an Extraordinary Life. We are
thanks for
up.
Having me, Chaz and AJ.
Oh, thank
my
you.
Pleasure.
Amazon has updated its Alexa assistant, voice assistant, after it challenged a 10-year-old girl to touch a coin to the prongs of a half-inserted plug.
Oh, that hurts.
What?
I one time I wanted to see what happens if you put a penny inside the electric socket.
And how did that work for you?
See my hair?
Well, we could also hear you speak.
Thank you. Yes, I have absorbed a lot of electricity over the years.
Yeah.
I've also wanted to find out what happens if you touch those little orange things out of a toaster a butter knife. I did that. And I also was like, oh, look, there's a prong stuck in this this electric socket right by a pool while standing in water. So, yeah, I'm no...
Wait, run this one by me?
I was doing pool openings, and we were opening up a pool, and there was a puddle of water from the, you know, those tubes you had around the cover, to keep the cover down. We were letting the water out of those. I happened to notice... that in the... there's that little like utility box by the pool that someone took a plug out and one of the prongs stayed inside the socket.
Oh,
so like an idiot,
snapped off.
Yeah, so like an idiot, I reached over, not thinking, and I grabbed it while staying in water. And 10 feet later, when I landed, I realized that was a dumb thing to do.
Man, all of these stories, AJ, explain a lot.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Maybe if you do it again, it'll unfrizz your hair.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Kevin in New York has a negative experience with electricity story. Kevin?
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
So this is one going back to maybe like fifth grade. I had braces. A buddy of mine said, hey, why don't you take a 9-volt and put it the top and the bottom to the top and bottom of your teeth?
Oh, God.
And it was a dare. And I'm like, yeah, let's give it a try. What could it?
What could happen?
I got hit with a baseball bat.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Did you arc weld them together or what?
No, the battery shot away. I got almost like knocked out. It's not something I would recommend.
I've done the, you take the two prongs of the 9-volt and put it on the tongue.
Oh, everybody does that, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, not everybody.
Yeah, so
a lot of kids.
Follow a circuit.
People like us.
And
exactly.
That 9-volt has a little bit more kick to it.
Oh, damn. It sounds like something we should try.
Yeah.
We need interns again.
Stupid enough. Maybe
you found
give
the
it
right
to
people.
Biden, maybe to like jumpstart him or something.
Right.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Be good, guys.
Keys to my heart. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I've done the two prongs to the tongue, but not between the teeth.
No.
Wow.
That's a new one.
That sounds like more power.
Yep.
Let's go to Scott in Wallingford. He has a negative experience
with electricity story.
Hey, how you doing?
You.
Hey, hope you do good with your COVID. Get over it.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, yeah, I used to, when I got out of trade school, I moved down to Florida. You know, got out of the parents' house, and I was doing duct work for a company. And I was working in Ron John's Surf Shop in Cocoa Beach.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So they were putting a couple dressing rooms in, and they were too hot, so they wanted some little ductwork put in there. So I just had to tap into the main line, and I cut a hole in there, and I stuck my hand in. I put my little adapter in there, started moving around, and all of a sudden, I got the shock of my life, and I fell off the ladder. Head first into the ceiling fan.
Head first into the ceiling fan.
Yes, it was on. And it kind of scalped me a little bit. I needed 11 stitches to close it up. And I fell on the floor, knocked racks of bathing suits and shit all, over. And the boss, when they called my boss, ambulance came and everything, and they look up in there. Somebody put a transformer for the neon lights for the store up inside the ductwork, and it has two open leads of wire. And when I put my hand in there, I touched both leads, and it just the shock of my life. It was because it gets so hot, the transformer for the neon lights, they're trying to cool it off with the air conditioning in the ductwork.
Yeah, human Cuisinart.
Oh, man, it was like... unbelievable.
You know, it's one thing to be electrocuted, but it's another thing to have your head go into a ceiling fan.
And it happened in Florida, the first Florida man.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And I was only on a job maybe a month. That was it, you know? And every place I went down there to look for a job, they said, oh, you're from up north. You went to trade school. When can you start?
Right.
Yeah.
They always said that we have the best schools up around for the trade schools,
yeah.
So it was like,
Then you did that. Shot that theory down, didn't you?
You assimilated quickly to Florida life.
He's one of us.
Yeah.
I think that's what started the baldness on me.
Didn't help.
Did you feel, so when you're getting shocked and your head goes into the ceiling fan, was the pain from the electricity much that you didn't even feel the ceiling fan hit you?
Yeah, because I was like on one of them little six foot ladder, step ladders, and that just like kicked right out from underneath me. And like I say, I fell into racks of bathing suits and I knocked a lot of stuff over.
Man, I hate to make light of this, but you know, that would be a real fun video to watch.
It really would. We know it's okay.
You know, in slow motion multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, I mean, the blood that came out of my head and they got all on their bathing suits and stuff, they weren't too happy about that because they had to throw away a bunch of crap.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you lived.
Yeah, exactly,
that could have
been
bad if the guy died.
Right.
You get electrocuted, you hit your ceiling fan, full blast, hits your head, and then you fall off the ladder onto Rex.
Oh, it was all at, like, a matter of 2 seconds it happened, and I was on the ground, and stuff was falling on top of me.
Bro. Should have played Wipeout.
Hey, that's what you get out of your parents' house for when you're young like that.
Exactly. You know? Do things like this.
That was the deal, you know, 18 and out, you know. Bye, I'm leaving.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. Glad you're okay, Scott.
We think.
Let's go to Jeff. And Jeff, you're in Louisville, Kentucky right now?
Yeah, I just I listen to you guys on the web sometimes.
Thank you.
And I just turned on the website and heard you guys talking about electricity, and so try to call in.
It worked. Yeah. Electricity. Yay!
Hey, you.
Yeah, I don't mind getting bit. Leave that circuit on. I don't get shocked. When I was living in Madison, I was about 13 years old. I'm buttering toast, and I had the butter knife in my hand. All of a sudden, and I was like, when the knife touched the outside of the toaster and my hand was on the stove, I got that feeling like when you hit your funny bone.
How do you butter toast?
You became a
conductor. You got to take the bread out first.
Well, good point.
I had it, but I was reaching in for another slice of rye bread, and when I figured out how that happened, I did it again.
Right. Well, you wanted to make sure the first time wasn't a fluke, and you put the pat of butter in your mouth so it melts.
I don't know.
That's great.
It felt kind of neat.
Yeah.
So you were
that was interesting.
So you were toast, basically.
I didn't hear you. Sorry, what?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it, brother.
All right.
All right. Bob and Aunt Sonia.
Hello. How are you? Happy New Year to everyone.
Yes. Good.
You as well.
Thank you. You too.
My story is I was about between 8 and 10 years old. I always was fascinated with cars. I found an old key and stuck it into the light socket down in the basement, and my hand just fried to that key. I couldn't get off, and my mom ended up hitting me with a broom to get my hand off of it.
She would have anyway.
Yeah. Ow!
She would have anyway.
I know, exactly. I could remember to this day my hand was black and blistered for at least a month.
Oh, God.
That's how much my finger stuck. And then I'll give you one more quick one that actually is a little bit funny, but I was a little bit annoyed. At about 18, I was working in a nursing home, and you could never shut off the power because of people that were on breathing machines.
Oh, yeah.
And over the bed lights that you pull the chain. Most of the time, people would rip them right out of the wall. Laying in bed, you pull it too hard. I'm going to fix one, and no problem. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, I can feel this going through my body. I realize the guy whose bed I moved out of the way was pissing on my leg.
Peeing, I guess.
Tinkling.
I moved
tinkling.
My hand, and I ground it out, and that was it.
Nice.
Pete, sorry. That was a little bit funny. Felt sorry for the guy.
But... Yeah, so I thought the story was going to be that then you blew a circuit and all the breathing machines stopped and
Grandma?
Like 89 people died that
no,
day.
No, come on.
No.
Come back.
Somehow it did not happen.
Wakey.
The generator went on. I don't know.
Oh, God. All right.
I was just like,
The key thing.
It was what it is. It was funny. Part of life.
So your mom had to break. So you had a key in your hand. You stuck it in a light socket, and you were stuck there because of the current.
Yeah,
she had to
really,
break.
Mom, I need it all.
And mom yelled, don't you start.
What it was a finished basement. Half of it was our bedroom, and the other half was just my mom did her laundry and ironing and whatever. Yeah. We were young. She was standing there ironing, and I have no idea to this day. I can't ask her because she's gone now. Whatever made her think to pick up the broom and hit me, because that's what worked. If she touched me, we would have both still been stuck there.
Oh, yeah, it'd been a chain. Yep.
It was the light switch on your back that she hit.
Yep.
I got to turn them off.
All right. I could still see that black big blister on my hand.
Jeez.
It was
all
just
right,
a
Bob.
Crazy day.
Thank you, brother.
Have a good one, guys.
You too, man. Thank
bye.
You.
You too. Hugh in Brookfield.
Hey. So, so I was working down around your area a few years ago. And so me and my buddy are working up on the third floor. And all of a sudden, our saw stopped running at appropriate speeds, going way too fast or way too slow.
Oh, the saw. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I'm a contractor. And so then we start smelling smoke. We go, oh, hell, what is the guy downstairs doing? This guy is pulling apart wires and trying to reconnect them and zapping himself repetitively.
Whoops. Shocking.
Yes. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Literally
and
shocking.
Finally, after about 10 minutes of this, we finally just say, like, we kick the wires out of his hands because he keeps on trying to connect them and electrocuting himself. And all weekend, we had to just watch if the house was burning down.
Wow. Did the guy have some kind of weird fascination with the pain?
We don't know. He has no sense of smell, so he didn't know something was smoldering behind him.
Oh, wow. Okay. That'd be helpful. You know, smelling yourself on fire.
He burnt out my radio, and my other friend saw by just creating a bad current throughout the entire house. And on that whole house also, there was one pipe that used to always burst over the winter, and the electrician kept on electrocuting himself every time he tried connecting the pipe.
Seeing a pattern here.
That was not the best place to do electrical work.
Yeah, seriously, just burn the house down.
Yeah. It sounds like one guy was trying.
We watched it all weekend to see if it burnt down.
Right. And marshmallows and everything.
I just wanted to get that story in quick.
Hey, thank you, Hugh. Appreciate it.
I'm freezing my balls off outside trying to keep my call. So.
Go grab some wires.
Exactly right, yeah.
I will not do that.
Thank you, Hugh.
Thank you.
Is it cold outside right now?
It's like 32 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks if you're standing outside.
Oh, big time.
Gordon from Bridgeport.
Yeah, how are you guys doing this morning? I'm in a supermarket right now, so there might be some background noise. But I was working at a nursing home up by Sacred Heart University in Fairfield. And I was hired as a floor buffer, stuff like that. And we were always told never to leave the floor buffer unattended because we had elderly people walking around with all kinds of conditions. And there was one lady, Mrs. Woodsmith, God rest her soul, but she's probably gone by now. But she would wander the hallways and just incessantly hit people. So I saw the water fountain.
Hit people with her fist, with her purse?
Kick them.
Hit people with her fist. They had no purses. They were committed there. So she hit people with her fist. And it was just,
Oh, I'd flatten her.
A 90-year-old person hitting me is like a fly hitting me in the face, so it was really nothing.
Yeah.
So what happened was...
But she's waiting for the punch back. That's why she's doing it.
Yeah.
Turns around.
No punch back. That's assault on the elderly. I was 5 feet away from the water cooler, so I decided what harm could do. This is one of these old floor buffers where you have to lift up to go right, down to go left. So if you started it up and didn't know what you were doing, it would take you for a ride.
Yeah.
So what happened was... I took her for a ride because I walked over to the water cooler to get a sip of water. No sooner did I turn around, rather than gladly receive another couple of belts from her, she actually reached out and grabbed one of the handles on the floor buffer. She spun around, did about three complete 360s before it actually threw her into the wall and just sat her down on the floor, and she was just babbling incoherently. I was called to the administrative office and fired 5 minutes later.
Oh. Did her teeth fly out?
no, she was probably still there at the time of my dismissal.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, I was laughing. I probably shouldn't have been laughing, but you know, well, I was picturing it as a cartoon.
I didn't know whether to reach for her or grab for her because every time it spun around, I would either get the front end of the buffer or her feet just flailing in the air.
All that flapping of skin.
Here's the thing in life. You know,
I just said let gravity take its course, and it did. Yeah. And she eventually just got hold off it.
There you go.
You know, the lesson here is don't walk around punching people in the face.
Exactly. I would have like waxed the stairs.
That's a good lesson.
Exactly.
Down she goes.
You guys have a great New Year, okay?
You too, man. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
That.
You too.
All right. Thank you so much, brother.
All right, man. Should we take one more?
Sure, why not?
All right. Matt in Litchfield?
Nate.
Oh, Nate.
Nate.
Good morning, guys. It's Nate in Litchfield. Yeah, so my wife and I, we just moved into a new house back in 2016. I was finishing putting up security cameras, and we were getting a storm that night. I used to repossess vehicles, so I worked at night, and we were standing on the porch that night, and I was leaving, and we had a strike of lightning hit the corner of the house. It popped one of the cameras, ran all the way down through the gutter, and the gutter had an exit system on the porch itself, and the entire porch was a little wet.
Oh, boy.
So as you could see, electricity traveled down the gutter into the porch, and we both literally, I got thrown 10 feet over the railing onto the bushes, and she got thrown 10 feet the other way. So it all happened in a split second, but it was, I was a little tingly there for a minute.
Like
so.
Two Power Rangers.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Our new neighbors are really massive, weird.
Yeah, massive migraine the next day. She had leg pain, and it was, I mean, we recovered, obviously, because I'm still here, but yes. It was definitely a scary experience.
Was the security camera set up in time?
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Good
cool video?
No, it fried the entire electrical system in the house. Well, not the the entire thing, but it fried the cameras, it fried our TV, the sound system, the cable box, everything that was plugged into that certain wire strip, it fried it. So it was around $750 worth of damage, and our insurance, of course, didn't cover it because I was the dumbass who didn't ground the cameras. So that's how it went.
You landed on the bushes. What did she land on?
She landed on the other side of the porch.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we're both okay still. So.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Important.
Have a good New Year, guys, and I appreciate you.
No, thank you, man.
We appreciate you. Oh, man, that's the thing with electricity. It happens so fast.
Oh, yeah.
It just clears your mind.
Yes, it does. And your drawers.
And everything else.
And the porch.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.